The movement that is a very important one is from defense to minimization. And the reason for this is that minimization, we have found, is the primary orientation. In many organizations, the curve of the organization looks like this. If this is denial, this is defense, this is minimization, this is acceptance, adaptation, and so forth, that the curve of the organization looks something like that, where the predominant orientation, we call it the predominant orientation to difference, is in minimization. Now, there may still be denial and defense issues, as we call it, in the organization, and there may be people who are operating it further out, but typically organizations have minimization as its primary orientation. So, for that reason, this is an important stage. What we mean by minimization here is the tendency to minimize cultural difference, to have responded to the polarization of cultures by saying, well, deep down, we're all basically the same. It's the discovery of commonality, the discovery of common humanity. This happens in two large ways, largely in two ways. One of them is through physical universalism. In this case, people discover that deep down we're all basically human beings. We all have two arms and two legs for the most part. We all eat and we all sleep. And in these ways, we are physically similar. And in this physical similarity, we discover that we're all just human beings here. And you can see that if you've come from a position of thinking that people are less human than you are, this is an important discovery. An extension of this physical idea is that we're all human beings in the sense of being describable with a particular system. So, for instance, we are all human because we all have an ego, an id, and a superego, a Freudian description. We all have a shadow self, a Jungian description. Or, for that matter, we're all we can all be described as ENFP or INTJ or one of those Myers-Briggs personality characteristics, which are a Jungian system. Or we all can be described in terms of our introversion or our tolerance of ambiguity, which are big five psychological personality variables. We all can be described in our Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Security needs or safety needs or social needs and so forth. These systems that are largely psychological systems, when they're used to describe everybody in the world, that they're seen as equally applicable to everybody in the world, they act as a kind of minimization. The good thing about it is that they humanize us. They make us equally human. The bad thing about it is that they mask the cultural differences. That by saying that everybody in the world is either an ENFP or an INTJ, these Myers-Briggs categories, we tend to give more weight to that and less weight to the fact that people are coming from different cultural worldviews. And so it minimizes the cultural difference. The other way that we can create a cultural minimization is through transcendent universalism. And the way this works is that we apply a similar principle to everybody in the world. We say, deep down, everybody's a child of God, for instance. And here comes the ethnocentric part, whether they know it or not. Okay, so the problem here is not the belief that a person is a child of God or subject to Allah's will or has karma. I mean, these are all potential religious principles that we could apply to people. And I could believe that everybody is a child of God. However, it becomes ethnocentric when I think that everybody else would think that if they only could. You see the issue. That's the problem. It's not believing that we're children of God. It's believing that everybody else would believe that if they only could. Now, of course, we can see this in political situations, going back to the earlier comment, where we may believe that deep down, whether they know it or not, everybody is subject to class-based historical economic forces. Do you recognize that principle? See, it's this is out of favor, you know? I mean, it used to be everybody would go, yeah, Marxism, you know? But, you know, now, you know, hardly anybody recognizes class-based historical economic forces. But these days, people do recognize this statement. Deep down, whether you know it or not, everybody wants to be an individual entrepreneur. You all want to live in a free market economy, don't you? Well, if we're coming from a minimization position, we might well be motivated to, with the assumption that that's what you would want to do if you only could. Now, it may be that you're being restrained by, for instance, a despotic leader who is a dictator, who is keeping you from exercising your natural tendency to want to live in a free market economy. So if we were to only, for instance, help you get rid of that leader, then you would embrace the subsequent movement towards a free market economy as being the thing that you always wanted to do, but just never could before. You see the thinking here? And it's not because I'm necessarily thinking that I'm superior in any direct way, not in the same as defense way. It's that I think that we're all basically the same. However, we are all basically the same like me. That we hardly ever hear anybody say everybody in the world's the same, and they're all like him. It's that deep down we're all the same, and what do you know, that turns out to be like me. That's minimization. The implications for individuals of minimization are, first of all, that we're not evaluative of others, but we are operating within familiar categories of our own worldview. So we see ourselves as being the model for the world, basically. Not because we think we're better, but because we think everybody's basically the same, like us. We tend to be quite nice, insistently nice, I call it. And we tend to then support these universal systems, the psychological templates or the religious systems, human rights systems, things like that. And again, let me be clear that I'm not against human rights. I don't think human rights are ethnocentric. But I think it is ethnocentric to think that everybody else is going to think about human rights in the same way that you do. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be committed to human rights. It just means that we can be committed to it in a more ethno-relative rather than ethnocentric way. The exercise of power here tends to be then the unconscious acceptance of privilege, that people who have minimization, particularly if they're in positions of dominant group power positions, like in the United States, you know, people of my group, European American males, are the dominant group, and we control the institutions in the United States, and insofar as we are in minimization, or people in this group are in minimization, they don't understand why there aren't more women or people of color above certain levels in the organization. They just don't understand that. And if you ask guys like me, you say, well, why aren't there more women there? And they say, well, it's because they don't work as hard as we do. Because we have equal opportunity. And when you say to them, do you suppose you might be privileged by the fact that you're making up the rules? They go, well, no, everybody has equal opportunity. Everybody is able to operate, you know, people are all basically the same. Everybody, business is business the world over. It's not that, you know, the rules favor me, you know, they're just neutral. This is the inability to see oneself as having a cultural context. The organizational implication of this is an overestimation of sensitivity. So people at minimization think they're a lot more sensitive in cultural difference than they are. A lot of conformity to corporate culture, where the corporate culture is the thing that is the way that we get along. The way we're going to get along is by stressing some similarity with one another. Not by addressing our differences, but by finding a similarity. So it's a kind of an assimilationist idea. And of course, people who are different and who believe that they should be different tend to not stay around in situations like that. It also leads to a lot of imperialism, cultural imperialism, even when that's not particularly intended.